The student ministry podcast you're about to hear is a sermon preached by Brother Kerry Schmidt at the 2008 West Coast Baptist Teen Camp. Brother Schmidt is the youth pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and we hope this message is a blessing to you. For more sermon resources, please visit preaching.lancasterbaptist.org.
When I was in junior high, the girls in junior high used to say one thing all the time to all the boys. You are so immature. Okay, disgusting is a good one too. You are so, not good looking. You are so immature. Now, how many of you have ever had a girl say that to you? Sisters, you are so immature. Now, look what the Bible says. Verse 20 in the Bible. Brethren, be not children in understanding. So God says there's some certain things I want you to understand that a child doesn't get. I want you to grow up in some areas. I don't want you to be a child in your understanding anymore. And guys, that's where you're at. Seventh and eighth grade is where you emerge from childhood and you start emerging into adulthood. And God says, I want you to learn some things. The Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So he didn't stay a child. He became an adult, and that's where you're at in junior high. Junior high is transitioning from childhood to adulthood. And it's time for every seventh and eighth grader in this room to start thinking, I'm not a child anymore. There's some things I need to change about the way I act, the things I say. My understanding needs to grow. It needs to mature, okay? And I know girls used to say that to me. You are so immature, and really they were immature. Probably more immature than I was. That was just their way of insulting. And you know why it worked? Because even in seventh and eighth grade, I wanted somebody to think I was mature. I didn't want people looking at me going, you're so immature. I wanted people going, wow, that's a mature seventh grader. That's a mature eighth grader. I wanted people to look at me and go, that person has maturity. They're growing. He's growing. I can trust him. I think I wanted to have a good name and a good testimony. And what I want to do right now in these next few moments is give you the signs, the telltale warning signs of when you are maturing. What does maturity look like? How will you change? Now, these are not the ways to change or the ways to grow, because only God can do that. This is what happens in your life when you start growing in maturity. If you would allow God to help you grow in these areas, people would start trusting you more. People would start thinking highly of you. People would ask you girls to babysit. When it comes time to get your driver's license, your parents will probably trust you and let you have greater privileges and greater blessings. Why? Because if you're growing in maturity, you'll be vastly different from most teenagers, okay? People will look at you differently. They'll respect you better. You'll get a better job. You'll have a better future because you'll be growing in maturity. And by the way, write this down. First statement I want you to write down. Being mature doesn't mean I can't have fun. Being mature does not mean I can't have fun. Say that with me. Being mature does not mean I can't have fun. Because a lot of teenagers think, well, if I mature, if I grow up and become mature, then I have to stop having fun, and I don't want to do that because I like to have fun. And listen, guys, I'm 39, and I love to have fun. You'll never have to give up having fun, okay? You just have to learn how to balance it. You learn how to blend maturity and fun together. In fact, immaturity is the fastest way to misery. Because when you're immature and you refuse to mature, when you refuse to grow, and you're immature and you stay immature, you know what happens? Your teachers all through school, demerits, detentions, trouble, suspension, expulsion. Your teachers never trust you. Your parents never trust you. Everybody always wonders what you're up to, what you're doing to get in trouble, what you're lying about, what you're covering up, what you're hiding, what mess you're making, what problems you're causing. And listen, I don't think there's a person here that wants to, 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years from now, everybody that sees you thinks there's a troublemaker, there's a problem, there's somebody we have to stay away from, there's somebody with a bad name, there's somebody with a terrible, terrible testimony. No, that's not what you want. Immaturity has a very, very high price. Now that you're in 7th and 8th grade, people expect you to start growing up and maturing. If you don't, they will think very low of you. they'll think, what an immature punk, what a brat, what a problem. And they won't respect you. They won't give you the privileges and the blessings that you should have. And your life will get worse and worse and worse. It won't get more fun and more fun and more fun. It'll get worse and worse and worse. So what do people look for? What do your parents and adults and pastor, teachers, when they try to evaluate how you're doing in your growth and maturity, what do they look for? Okay? I'm going to give you 10 signs, 10 things that when these show up, adults freak out. They go, oh my goodness, what a great, great teenager. What are they? Number one, write this down. Respect for authority. By far, the number one thing that will cause people to respect you is when you respect them. Respect for authority. Authority. A-U-T-H-O-R-I-T-Y. Authority is your parents, your pastor, your youth workers, your Sunday school teachers, your school teachers. Respect for authority is, it's like Brother Shetler preached last night, I recognize that God has put people in my life that love me and care about me, and I'm going to respect them. I'm going to honor them. I'm going to treat them with respect. What is that? It's something simple as this. Watch. When you're in church or Sunday school, an immature person, would sit like this. Or like this. Okay? For you guys' benefit over here. You know, when someone's talking to you and you're sitting like this, that's disrespect. And it's very immature. And you know what? If you look around tonight, you'll see some senior hires doing that. You'll see some people that are in 10th, 11th, and 12th grade with their head down. You know what? They should have learned when they were in 7th grade. Respect, respect, respect. What is respect? Well, if you went to a wedding, would you dress nice? Why? Because you respect the bride and the groom and their families. If you went to a funeral for one of your grandparents, would you dress nice? Why? Because you respect a dead person. And you love that. You loved that person. You'd show respect. Respect is, I honor the person that's talking or the person that's responsible for me or the person that is leading this activity or my teacher or whoever else it might be. I'm going to sit upright. I'm going to listen. I'm going to respond. I'm going to show respect. So the number one thing that adults, if you ever want your parents to let you get your license, you're going to have to respect them. Because respect, number one, it pleases the Lord and pleases your parents, but it does something that most teenagers don't get. It causes adults to go, wow, he's mature. She is mature. And I'm telling you, in seventh grade, you could be mature, more mature, guys. You listening? You guys listening? Watch me. You could be more mature in seventh grade than some of the 10th and 11th graders just by being more respectful. And as the devil, when you get into 9th, 10th, 11th grade, tries to get you to be disrespectful, you need to just nail it down. As long as I am under authority, which is the rest of your life, I will respect authority. Number two, the number two thing that tells people you are mature, write it down, a personal commitment to Christ. A personal commitment to Christ. Now, what is that about? A personal commitment to Christ. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 6. We're going to see a few verses here. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto who? Unto who? Unto God. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And you know what? The second thing people look for in your life when they start to go, whoa, I mean, that would cause your parents to go, wow, He's really growing. She's really growing. Look at that. It's a personal, I'm talking about from your heart, commitment to the Lord. When you decide, I don't go to church just because my parents take me. I go to church because I love the Lord. I don't go to read my Bible just because somebody makes me. I'm going to read my Bible because I want to know the Lord. I don't pray just because I have to. I pray because I love my Savior. Now, I'll tell you, when I got my personal commitment to the Lord, you know when it started? Seventh grade. Fourth grade, I kind of played and goofed around and had my friends. And fifth grade came and went and had my friends and had a lot of fun and goofed around. Sixth grade came and went and had a lot of fun. When I got into seventh grade, my junior high youth pastor sat me down. And he said, now, Kerry, he said, if you're ever going to get serious about living for the Lord, it has to be now. You can't wait till senior high. You can't wait till college. You can't wait till you're an adult. Seventh grade is when people need to start getting serious about their personal walk with the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have a personal walk with the Lord? Do you talk to Him? Do you read His Word? Do you spend time with Him? Do you know Him? Does He answer your prayers? Do you set aside time, just like you play video games or watch TV, do you set aside time to be alone with God? And I'm telling you, nothing in your life, nothing will make you more mature faster. Nothing will cause people to go, wow, he's growing. Look how mature she is. Than if you start walking with the Lord by yourself. Nobody makes you. You know, this morning we had God and I time, and it's camp. You had to have it. You know when you're mature is when you have God and I time on your own, and nobody makes you. And your mom might say, hey, what were you doing in your room? And you say, I was just having my devotions and spending some time with the Lord. What? Oh, I was just talking to the Lord. I was just writing God a note. I was writing out a prayer. I was writing out my prayer list. I was just thinking of all the blessings that God gave me and saying thank you for them. I'm telling you, the number two sign that you're growing in maturity in seventh and eighth grade is when you start walking with the Lord on your own. And maybe, how many of you girls keep a journal or a diary? You know, one of the best ways to walk with the Lord is to write Him a prayer every day. Just to write Him a prayer. Dear Lord, I love you. Thank you for a great day. Help me with this. Help me with that. Help that girl like me. You guys awake? So number two is what? A personal commitment to Christ, okay? So people go, wow, he's growing up. She's maturing when you show respect to authority. Number two, when you walk with the Lord. Number three, write it down. Number three is when you understand and accept responsibility. When you understand and accept responsibility. Now, let me explain something. How many of you have your own room? Raise your hand if you have your own room. How many of you, put your hand out, how many of you share a room with a sibling or brother or a pet or something? Okay. How many of you, maybe you don't have your own room, but you have your own bed? Raise your hand. Does pretty much everybody have your own bed, a place, your own place to sleep? Okay. I want you to go over to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. How many of you, your mom and dad, or your mom probably, has to tell you, go, you're filling in the blanks for me. Go make your bed. How many of your mom and dads have to tell you, go clean your room? Now, be honest with me. How many of you in the last week, your mom or dad has said to you, go make your bed or go clean your room or both? Raise your hand if you've been told that in the last week. Go make your bed, go clean your room. Okay, hands down. How many of you don't ever have to make your bed or clean your room? Raise your hand. One, two, three, four. How many of you, your mom and dad used to tell you that, but now you make your bed and you clean your room on your own? Raise your hand. Now, hold up your hands. This is the crowd that is starting to grow in maturity. Now, let me explain. Hands down. Let me explain. How many of you, you wake up, you know you're going to have to make your bed, right? You already know that before your mom says anything, right? Raise your hand. You already know you have to make it. How many of you know when your room's a mess, your mom and dad are going to make you go, they're going to say, clean your room. How many of you know they're going to say that? I mean, you could, if you bet money, you'd win. Your mom's going to say, go clean your room, okay? How many of you, your mom or dad has to tell you, usually, now be honest, they usually have to tell you every time, like maybe every day or every other day, but you usually always have to be told to make your bed or clean your room. Raise your hand if you usually always have to be told. How many of you say, I do it by myself sometimes? Okay? How many of you, now be honest, how many of you say, Brother Schmidt, my mom has to tell me not once, but usually more than once. Usually it takes 2 or 3 times before I actually get to do it. Okay, so here's what happens. Okay? Is it Matt? Okay, so I'll pretend that Matt is my son. So I go, hey, Matt. Let's say he's playing his Xbox. So he's playing Xbox, and I go, hey, Matt, you got to go clean your room and make your bed. And he already knows I'm going to say that, right? He woke up this morning thinking, you know, Dad's going to tell me to go make my bed and clean my room. So he already knows it's coming. So he's playing Xbox. He goes, okay, Dad. But in his mind, he thinks, I'll do it later. I'm busy playing my game. So 20 or 30 minutes go by, and I come back, and I go, hey, Matt, your bed's not made yet. Your room's not clean. Listen, up here. Your bed's not made. Your room's not clean. Go clean your room. So now the first time I was like, hey, don't forget to clean your room. I was kind of nice. Now I'm talking a little stronger. Hey, I told you to go clean your room. He says, okay. So I go do what I'm going to do. And I come back 20 minutes later, and his room is still not clean, and his bed is still not made. Now what am I going to do? Now this is the third time. Do I scream this time? I don't want to ask the question. Some of your parents start screaming the third time. Some of them start screaming the second time. Now if this were me, I'd say, now Matt, I've told you twice. I'm not screaming yet. As I've told you twice, I'm not going to tell you again. Stop playing that game right now. Stand up, walk into your room, and go clean your room. So let's say he puts the game controller down, pauses the game, puts it down, gets up, walks into his room. He's like, okay, Dad, fine. And he's going to go clean his room, and I leave. But let's say he gets into his room, and he starts reading and starts playing with toys, and he gets distracted. He sees a note from his girlfriend from 3 years ago, and he starts reading it. And, you know, 20 minutes come by, and I come into Matt's room, and he's zonked out on his bed. His bed's not made. His room is even messier than it was before. Now I'm going to get really upset with him. I'm going to say, Matt, go downstairs and get me the spoon. You're going to get a spanking. You're grounded. And I'm going to ground him. I'm going to start disciplining him. I'm going to say, you stand up right now. You get this room clean. You get this bed made right now. You're grounded. You're not allowed to go to the birthday party. You're not going to your friend's house. You're not going anywhere for the rest of your life. And I start, now listen. Here's the problem with this picture, guys. From the very first minute that Matt got out of bed, he knew that I was going to tell him to make his bed and clean his room. But because he was immature, he didn't do it. Then I told him, and he didn't do it. And I told him again, and he didn't do it. And I told him again, and he didn't do it. And you know what? I didn't wake up in the morning. I didn't come out of my room and go, make your bed and clean your room right this minute. No, he pushed me there. Let me ask you a question. How often do you push your parents to have to threaten you before you'll do what you know you're going to have to do anyway? Now, let me ask you a question. Is Matt going to make his bed and clean his room? He is going to. So help me, he is going to. I don't care what kind of fight we have, he's going to lose. He is going to clean his bed. Clean his room and make his bed. Now, think about how the day would have gone if when he got up, he'd have thought, you know what, this is my room, this is my bed, this is my responsibility. I want everybody to look at me. If he had gotten up first thing in the morning and said, this is my responsibility, I understand that this is my responsibility and I accept it. So I make a commitment that every day, I'm going to get up, and without my dad having to yell at me or even my mom having to ask me, I'm going to make this bed, and I'm going to pick my room up. And my goal, if I were Matt, my goal is to never have to be told to do what I know I need to do. Now, if you start accepting responsibility and doing things without being told, let me tell you what happens. Everybody look up here. your mom and dad start going, whoa. You know what? Instead of me yelling at him and saying, hey, I told you to put that game down, go in there and make your bed, instead of all that, it would be something like this. Matt, are you feeling okay today? Do you have a fever? Are you okay? Are you sick? Dude, did you make your bed? You did? Did you clean your, did you hire a maid service or something? Or did you clean your room? You clean your room? That is awesome. Son, what made you do that? You know I'm going to ask you to do that. You know what? I'd be like, man, what can I do for you? Do you need anything? Do you want anything? You want a game for your Xbox? Do you want to go to Cold Stones? Do you want to? I'm telling you, a parent wants to do things for a teenager that is accepting responsibility. My son Lance, I'll give you an illustration. My son Lance is a senior now. And a couple years ago, he turned 15. And you know what? Lance has always been very, very good at accepting responsibility. He keeps his room clean. He hangs his clothes up in his closet. He studies. He works. You know what? There are times that Lance and Larry, without being asked, they go out, get the hose, get a bucket, and they wash both of our cars just to be a blessing to me and their mom. They don't have to be asked. There are lots of areas where they accept their own responsibilities. And you know, when Lance turned 15, I told my wife, we've got to help Lance get his driver's permit. Sign him up for driver's education. Sign him up for the behind-the-wheel training. And I'll pay the money, $300. I want to pay the money. My wife said, wow, why are you so excited about this? I said, because Lance deserves it. A couple weeks ago, he finally got his license. And I didn't know how I was going to add him to my insurance, because it costs about $100 a month for insurance to drive. And I told Lance, I told my wife, we've got to help Lance get his license. We've got to get him added to our insurance. I don't know how we're going to be able to afford it, but we've got to. And she said, why? I said, because he deserves it. He's a good young man, and he deserves the privilege of driving. Why? Because he accepts responsibility. Write this statement down. Maturity is the acceptance of responsibility. Maturity is the acceptance of responsibility. And when you start accepting, and the Bible says in this passage, which we turn to, Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. How many of you would like God to give you a lot of blessings in life? Raise your hand. How many of you would like God to give you a lot of blessings in life? Okay, let me tell you the pathway to blessing. You take the little things that God's given to you. Look up here. Take the little things God's given to you, like your bed and your bedroom and a report at school and studying for a science test, and you accept the responsibility. And you say, God, you gave me a bed, I'll make it. You gave me a room, I'll pick it up. You gave me a closet, I'll keep the clothes hung. You gave me a bathroom, I'll keep the sink clean. And I won't spit toothpaste all over it and wait for mom to clean it up. You gave me a school, I'll take care of my schoolwork. You gave me, and you fill in the blank. Whatever God has given you in your life, you gave me clothes, I'll keep them picked up and put away. Whatever God's given to you, God says, I'm watching what you're going to do with it. And if you will accept responsibility in your life, God says, oh, if he's faithful making his bed, he'll be faithful with a new car. He'll be faithful with a nice house. He'll be faithful, she'll be faithful with a family. And all of a sudden, you accept responsibility. Some of you girls help with the laundry, but you only do it when you're told. Some of you help with the dishes, but you only do it when you're told. You know what maturity is? Maturity is when you start doing what needs to be done without being told. And that causes adults to go, whoa, she's mature. Number four. Anybody want to guess? $10? Got obedience, got attitude. I haven't heard it yet. Love, not discipline, no. You guys are like, oh, $10. You're just making up words. Cutting the grass. Growing a garden. Anybody? We already covered responsibility. Not caring. Not understanding. Not listening. Not obedience. We talked about respecting authority. What'd you say? No. We talked about honor already. Working. No, we talked about respect. What? Not honest. Huh? Not patient. Here it is. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Wait, there's 10 bucks on the line. Give us a few more guesses. You guys are funny. I'll give you another chance. Number four, the ability to take a stand. Ah. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Now, maturity, let's contrast it for a minute. Immaturity is, I got to do whatever my friends do. I got to laugh at whatever my friends say. I got to dress however they dress. I got to fit in. I got to be accepted. And immaturity is, I have to be like everybody else. That is very immature. Maturity is, I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to laugh at dirty jokes. I'm not going to talk about bad things. I'm not going to look at bad stuff. I'm not going to hang around bad people. I am going to take a stand. And if I don't have any friends, if I don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend, if nobody likes me, which isn't going to happen, but if that did happen, I am going to take a stand. Can you take a stand? If your friend says a word that's not appropriate, can you look at your friend and say, don't say that? Well, what if they make fun of you? You know what? That's okay. I got made fun of when I was in 7th and 8th grade. I took a stand. People made fun of me. It didn't hurt. It's no big deal. People who make fun of people for taking a stand are just weak. They're just immature. Maturity says, I am going to take a stand. I'm not going to be like everybody else. I'm not going to talk like everybody else. I'm going to be different, and I'm going to stand up. And you know what happens? When one person takes a stand, watch this. Blazik, you listening? When one person takes a stand, everybody looks at that person and goes, wow. And they respect that person more. Wow, that's impressive. When one person takes a stand, all of a sudden, that person who took a stand gets more friends and more friends and more friends and more friends. This is another thing I learned from my son Lance. Lance takes a stand. You know what? He has a lot of friends. But he's not afraid to tell somebody to stop talking about bad things. He's not afraid to take a stand. Don't be afraid to take a stand. When you come to the point where you are like, I don't care what people think of me. I'm going to do the right thing. You're maturing. If you don't ever get beyond, I'm afraid of everybody. They might reject me. They might make fun of me. I might not have any friends. I want everybody to like me. When you think that way, that's very immature. So the ability to take a stand. So let's review. Number one was respect for authority. Number two was personal commitment. Number three was understanding and accepting responsibility. Number four was ability to take a stand. Number five, improved, write it down, improved personal demeanor. What's a demeanor? What's a demeanor? Improved personal demeanor. All right, watch. Personal, everybody look up here now. Demeanor is how you act, walk, talk, appear. It's your whole person. It's your whole presence. It's how you look. It's how you sit. It's your posture. It's your attitude that comes out of you. It's all about you. And the Bible says that Jesus increased wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. In other words, God looked on Jesus with favor, but so did everybody else. All the adults and teachers and friends and people in Jesus' life, when they met him, they thought, what a fine young man. What a mature young man. Now, what am I talking about when I say demeanor? Well, part of it is how you look. It's how you keep yourself. Now's the time to start wearing deodorant. Now's the time to start taking a shower every day. Now, listen. I know when you were in 4th and 5th grade, you didn't have to take a shower every day. If you missed a day, you didn't smell too bad. You didn't even look too bad. But things start changing in 7th, 8th, 9th grade. You've got to take a shower every day. You've got to wear deodorant. You've got to comb your hair and clip your fingernails and clean under your fingernails. And all of a sudden, if you don't start doing this stuff, if you don't start taking better care of yourself, if you don't start dressing sharp for church, I'll be honest, in our senior high, we got people that dress sharp for church, and we got people that dress sloppy for church. And you know what people think when they look at them? The sharp ones that dress right, they look at them and go, what a mature young person. And the people that dress sloppy, people look at them and think, that young man needs to grow up a little bit and show a little more respect towards God. People are always judging you by your outward, by your appearance. And a mature young person doesn't go, well, I'll dress sloppy and I'll walk sloppy and I'll talk sloppy and I'll write sloppy and I'll just be a slob. A mature young person says, I'm going to look sharp. I'm going to walk sharp, I'm going to shake hands sharp, I'm going to talk right, I'm going to look right, I'm going to comb my hair, I'm going to wear deodorant, I'm going to shave, whatever it is, I am going to take care of myself, and I'm going to have a right attitude and a right spirit, and I'm going to be sharp. You ever had somebody shake your hand that's like a dead fish? You know, guys, when you shake hands, if you're a kid and you shake hands, you know, shake my hand, and if it's just like that, isn't that gross? There's no, it's just like... But you know what? When you're a teenager, people you shake your hand, people expect you to just give them a good, strong handshake. They expect you to start showing an improved demeanor, a different appearance, a more mature way of dressing and talking and walking. And the Bible says that's how Jesus grew. And when people see that, they go, wow, that's the kind of young person that I would want my son or daughter to marry, or that's the kind of girl I would want to have if I had a daughter, or that's the kind of girl I'd want to babysit for my family, or that's the kind of young man I'd want to mow my lawn or take care of my whatever. You know, you want to get hired for a job, you want people to respect you, you've got to look right, you've got to be sharp and have an improved demeanor. Number six, you're not going to guess this one either. Number six, burden. A burden for eternal values. A burden for eternal values. You say, Brother Schmidt, how do I know if I'm growing in maturity? If you're thinking about why your life matters forever. If you're giving time. Now listen, I'm all about having fun. I love playing video games. But if you're given more time to play in video games than you are doing things that matter, you're very immature. Because now you're old enough to do things that matter. You're old enough to serve the Lord. You're old enough to be a good influence. You're old enough to win souls to Christ. You're old enough to serve in a ministry at your church. And when you start thinking about things that matter, people go, wow. Let me ask you a question. If you got birthday money, do you tithe? If somebody sent you $50, do you give $5 of that to the Lord? If so, that's mature. Because you're thinking, instead of, ooh, I get $50, I get to go spend all of me, my toys, games, fun, candy. If the first thing you think is, wow, God gave me $50, and I'm going to give part of it back to him. And then you go, now I got $45, candy, toys, fun, games, and then it's all fine. But the first thought, if your first thought is, wait a minute, God gave me this, and I want to use it for him, that's what I'm talking about. If you're thinking about things that matter for eternity, then all of a sudden you're growing in maturity. If you got a Saturday morning and you have a choice of sitting around watching cartoons, eating Pop-Tarts in your pajamas, or you could be a part of Teen Soul Winning, or you could sit around on Thursday and Friday morning and twiddle your thumbs, or you could help with Vacation Bible School and help little kids do crafts or memorize verses, and you'd rather help, then you're growing in maturity. If you think about things that matter and how to use your time for things that matter, you're growing in maturity. Number seven, write this one down. Concern and care for others. Concern and care for others. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, he had no man that would naturally care for others. He couldn't find anybody that looked out for other people. How about you? Did you look out for anybody today except for yourself? Did you let anybody go before you? Did you help anybody with their plate at breakfast? Did you refill anybody's drink for them? Did you help somebody get a seat? Did you save a seat for a friend? Did you do anything for anybody today other than yourself? Stop and think about it. You know, you ever seen a little kid, little babies? They only think about themselves. Mine! How many of you ever heard a little kid say that? It's mine! They'll just go up and grab something out of somebody else's hand. Christmas Day, man. Mine! I want it! It's mine! Some of you are like that still. Me! You just woke up this morning, and every day of your life, you wake up. Me! What do I want to do? It's all about me! Me first! Give me what I want! Me, 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 me! I love me! I'm thankful for me! That's bad. You know why? Because God wants you to start thinking about other people. How about Christmas? Christmas morning. Do you come to Christmas morning with anything to give anybody? I don't mean your dad went and bought a gift and gave it to you and said, here, give this to mom. It's from you. What is it? I don't mean that. Because that's your dad making you look good. I mean, do you come to Christmas morning going, here's my gift for everybody in the family? Or do you come and going, me! Me! What did I get? Give me my stuff! Everything on my list better be under that tree, or I'm not going to be a very happy me. Is that how you think? How about birthday? Is the only birthday all year you remember yours? You wake up the morning of your mom's birthday and your family, your dad's going, hey, go tell mom happy birthday. Oh, yeah. You grab a piece of scratch paper. Dear mom, this is your birthday card. Get a red crayon, draw a heart. Here. And your brother's comes, oh, yeah, happy birthday. And your dad's come, your mom taps you, hey, don't forget to tell your dad happy birthday. Oh, yeah. But boy, like 3 months before your birthday, huh? Me, my birthday's coming. I better make a list of all the things that I want. I need a new pad of paper. About 100 pages might do the trick. And you're making lists, and you're sending out email notifications, and you're registering at Target like people do for their weddings. This is what I want for my birthday. Give me stuff. Me. Teen camp comes around. What do you think of? Me, my friends, my fun. I want to be with my friend. I want to hang out with me. I'm telling you guys, it's time to grow out of that. It's time to start thinking about other people. You know, everybody look up here at me. Me. Everybody look at me. Look. There's coming a day when Christmas Day, you're Santa Claus. Anna, you're going to have to buy gifts for your kids. And your kids aren't going to buy you a thing. And you're going to wake up Christmas Day and be like, oh, yeah, I remember when I used to get gifts on Christmas. Now it's all about my kids going, me! There's going to come a day when birthdays around the house is you planning your kid's birthday. You're caring for somebody else. And you know what? You need to start practicing. You need to start learning now how to look out for other people, how to be a blessing to other people, and stop letting your world revolve around you. Start thinking of other people. And all of a sudden, people go, wow, wow. Everybody likes someone who thinks about others. People go, wow, that person is mature. When you care about other people, you ought to come into Christmas. I'm not saying you can't look forward to getting gifts. Everybody likes getting gifts on Christmas. But you need to come into this Christmas with a gift for everybody else. Say, Brother Schmidt, I don't have a lot of money. That's not what it's about. It's about you thinking of other people. Maybe you make something. Maybe you buy something at a discount. Maybe you save money and earn odd jobs or whatever. I don't know what it is, but you should come in at least with an expression of love for everybody else. Think about other people. Number 8, 3 more to go. You guys have listened really well. A grateful heart. A grateful heart. Maturity. How can you be mature? What do other people look at and go, wow, that is mature? Now, here it is. When you start saying thank you for everything. I mean, when you just become a thanking machine that just thank you so much. Oh, I just want to say thank you. I'm so thankful for you. I'm so grateful for what you did. Oh, thank you. Writing thank you. Email thank you. Text message thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now listen. Listen. So many people do so many things for you that you don't even see. It just flies right by you. You go to your drawer, you take out an undershirt, you put it on, and you don't even stop to think that it was dirty yesterday. And your mom went to your room, got your dirty clothes, threw them in the laundry, bought soap, detergent, did the laundry, dried it, took it out of the dryer, sat on the couch, folded it, put it in a stack, took it all the way back to your room, put it back in your dresser drawer. You thought it just grew there. No, you probably didn't think that. You know your mom does that, but listen, when's the last time, if ever, that you said, Mom, thanks for doing my laundry? You sit down at the table, you eat a meal that your mom spent all day or a better part of a day preparing, and you scarf it down and run off to go play your game. Do you ever stop and say, Mom, thank you for the hard work that you put into this meal? Your dad goes to work and he kills himself and he works and he works and he works to get money to pay your electric bill and your house bill and to get gas in the car to take you to and from and to pay car insurance and to pay gas for the house and to pay for whatever else, telephone, cell phone, everything else. Do you ever stop and say, thank you, Dad, for working so hard? Thank you, Dad, for giving us a house, for taking care of us, for meeting our needs. You got a counselor this week. Have you said to any of your counselors, thank you for coming to camp this week and being my counselor? I'm telling you, if you will learn to be thankful, and not just be thankful in your heart, because I think everybody here would go, well, I'm thankful. That's not the point. I'm not talking about feeling thankful. I'm talking about expressing thankfulness. Thank you, Pastor Shetler, for preaching. Thank you for that message. Thank you, thank you, thank you. A grateful heart. Number 9. Sober mind. This is a really simple thing. I want you to get it. There are 2 or 3 basic kinds of emotion in life. And I know there's lots of levels of them. There's there's laughing. There's concentrating, thinking, being serious. And maybe there's sadness. Okay, now, most junior hires know how to be sad when something doesn't go their way. They throw a fit, cry, whatever. Most junior hires spend as much time as they can over here. Laughing all the time. You know what? I love to laugh. I think laughter is great. Wake up! But a mature person knows when to step from laughter to seriousness. Okay? Tonight in service, a mature 7th and 8th grader will laugh, 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 have a good time when the preaching starts. Laughter sets aside, and I'm listening. Unless the preacher's laughing and cutting a joke or telling something funny, then it's good to laugh. But I'm telling you, a lot of immaturity doesn't know how to be here and here. Immaturity will laugh at a funeral. Immaturity will goof around during a service, during serious time, during preaching. Everybody's making decisions, and we're that's immature. Maturity says, wait a minute, this isn't the time to laugh. We'll laugh after the service. We'll laugh before the service. During preaching, I'm going to listen. During invitation, I'm going to focus. I'm going to be serious. Do you know when to laugh and when to be serious? If you do, you're growing in maturity. Number 10, a mature person starts thinking, how can I be a good influence on other people? How can I use my personality, my gifts? How can I be a good influence on other people? How can I have a good testimony? How can I be a good example? And a mature person says, you know what? I'm not a child anymore. I want to have a good testimony. I want people to look at me and see a good example. Be thou an example. Let no man what? Despise thy youth. You know what that means? Nobody, as you're a youth, nobody should ever have a reason to go, teenagers, because of you. You shouldn't be typical. You shouldn't be, yeah, they're just teenagers. That's causing someone to despise your youth. The Bible says you are to be an example. That means you have to care about your testimony. Are you an example to other people? Could somebody with an 8 or a 9-year-old point to you and say, you can be like him? You can be like her? Or do they point to you and say, son, don't be like him. Daughter, don't be like her. When you're that age, don't be that way. You know what? When my boys were in 6th grade, I did that to them because they would come to youth activities. And I would say, I'd be with the youth group and I'd pull Larry and Lance aside and I'd say, now listen, did you see when that boy tonight was doing this and doing that? And he'd say, yes. I'd say, don't ever do that. That is very bad, bad testimony. And then I'd say, did you see that other boy who was doing this? They'd say, yes. I'd say, that is a good example. That's how you want to be. Now, if someone were going to point to you, what would they tell their kids? Be like him or don't be like him. Be like her or don't be like her. You know what you want to be if you're mature? I want to be a good example. Someone's watching me. Somebody younger than me is coming behind me. How many of you have a younger brother or sister? Younger brother or sister. They're watching you. And you know what? An older but immature brother or sister is like, I don't care. Shut up, stupid. Brat. I hate you. We laugh, but you know what? That is not funny. That is terribly immature. The right maturity says, no, I want to be a good example for my younger brother, sister, for other kids watching me, for other adults. I want to be a good example.
Thank you for listening to this Student Ministry 127 podcast. For more sermon resources, visit preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. And for information about West Coast Baptist College, visit wcbc.edu.